privileges of God's happy people, taken from Psalm 144. There are four thoughts for our consideration. Recipient of God's goodness, verse 1 and 2. Realizes their unworthiness, verse 3 and 4. Recipients of God's divine help, verse 5 to 11. And verse 12 to 15, recipients of fullness of blessings. The psalmist tells us, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. That's how he ended the psalm. God's people have special privileges. Blessed in verse 1 is the same word there that is used in verse 15, translated happy, characterizes God's people. God is with them. And the first word, blessed, is from the root word to kneel, to bow. Kneeling and humbling ourselves before God is blessing. And the second word, blessed, describes one whose sins are forgiven, whose destination is heaven, whose life is abundant. And we want to ask you this question. Is this your life? How can we have such a life? Well, as we meditate upon this psalm, the Lord wants us to think and consider the life with God that enables us to receive strength, wisdom, power to live life. He tells us that he's recipient of God's goodness, verse 1 to 2. Strength and skill, verse 1. Safety and sufficiency, verse 2. He tells us that God is his strength. Do you have God as your strength? Is this the testimony in your walk with God on a moment-by-moment, daily basis? Because if you have God as your strength, if God is truly our strength, then indeed our life comes with much stability. God is his rock. That is the meaning of the word strength. God is the support and defense of his people. In him, we can retreat to safety. He provides a solid anchor, protection, and security for his people. You see, as you look at life, there are many situations, circumstances, people that can cause us to crumble and fear. But for the psalmist, although he has understood himself as weak, but he realizes that he has a God whom he can rely upon, that is strong. And so this last Lord's Day, we had a little boy who came to church for the first time in his life. And we taught him the children's song, "My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do." Ah, wonderful hymn or chorus to teach a little boy concerning who God is. And indeed, we need to have that childlike faith to take God for who he is, to know God for who he is, that he is truly a refuge, he's truly an anchor, he's truly the rock in which we can find safety, we can find security, we can find protection. And the psalmist also tells us that God also endows him with skill to handle life's problems. He says, "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, who teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight." Very aggressive words that are used as we think about handling the problems of life. How do we not crumble under the pressure, but have the strength in the heart to march on in life, to plod on despite the adversity, despite the distress circumstances before us. The Lord tells us that there is a strength that He imparts to us that enables us to find help in times of need. Therefore, the psalmist declares unreservedly that God is my goodness. He's merciful, in other words, to him. And he is my fortress. He is where I can find safety. He is my safe abode. He is my high tower. He is beyond the enemy's reach. He is my deliverer. He rescues me from trouble. He is my shield. He protects me. He in whom I trust. I can rest my life upon him. There is a strength that I receive by this relationship which I have with my God. And God provides him skill in leadership, taken from treasury of David. How the Lord teaches us how we are able to handle life, although circumstances, situation oftentimes seem so, make life so bleak. We have a God who imparts wisdom to us, who teaches us what to do. But in order that we may appropriate strength from God, we must understand our nothingness. If we think that we have anything that we can bring before God and to help ourselves, then we are very wrong. For the psalmist realizes, he says in verse 3, Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? Or the son of man that thou takest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passes away. God wants us to know our weak position before him. And he extols God and knows his place in God's creation. He is utterly unworthy to receive any of God's goodness. He sees his minuteness in the vastness of God's universe. He realizes the brevity of his life, how transient and how frail he is. There are times when we fall sick. Those times when we fall sick, we realize how weak we are. You want to climb out of bed, your body aches all over. You have no strength to move. And you think that you need to do something, but the body just cannot move. We realize, indeed, how frail, how weak, how transient life can be. So many things that can go wrong in the entire body. One little part malfunction, right? It can cause a whole lot of distress to the well-being of the whole body. And so let us not take for granted. Let us realize that, you know, we have a God who is sustaining us. He is the one that is holding us together. And he, having the power to hold us, also has the power to take away. And therefore, we live in holy reverence before him, knowing that he is God. Do you see this in yourself? God wants us to see this in ourselves, our weakness. When we do so, it brings a solemn and somber disposition to the heart. We dare not boast of the next moment. We dare not boast of tomorrow. who said this or that or that. We can't. We just have to take life as God would give to us. And he tells us that there is a realization of unworthiness, verse 3 and 4. And also, for the people of God, they are recipients of divine help. Recipients of divine help. And verse 5 to 11. And he tells us, from false accusers, even from death threats, life can bring danger, or danger can confront life. And what do we do during those times? Well, he tells us that the power of God is truly wondrous and able to help his people. And here in our text, we see how he beheld God's power and praises his condescension to answer to their cries. False accusers has a knack to make untruth as the truth. And the accused is at a loss how to clear his name. Evil men can do so vindictively. They can go all out to destroy. And in this, the psalmist tells us there is help in God. He is able to deliver and let his name be praised. So this text from verse 5 to verse 11 tells us about the distresses that comes, that threatens the very life of God's people. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above, rid me and deliver me from the great waters, from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a song, a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery, upon an instrument of 10 strings unto thee. Indeed, God is the one who deliver. You see, as the nation faced adversaries, the enemies come knocking at the door. What do you do? Well, we need the skill to be able to ward off the attacks of the enemy. And God provided that strength. When the people of God would be willing to wait upon him, willing to plead before him and not use our own wisdom, our own strength, you'll find that at the end, God will not leave his people without help. And it is in those moments when we feel ourselves really helpless and we submit ourselves wholly to God to say that, God, if you don't do something, then it seems that's it. It seems that's it. But here we say, right, that God in heaven sees and God knows and God is able to help. And so we are comforted. Recipients of divine help, verse 5 to 11, and recipients of fullness of blessings, verse 12 to 15, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitudes of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, and our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor coming out, there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. You know, when God promised Israel that they would inherit the promised land, God told them that this would be a land filled with milk and honey. And God promised to send the rain in its season, to the former rain, the latter rain, so that the crop would come, they would have their needful harvest. God never fails, and we can trust Him. And what God wants us to do is not to forget that all comes from Him. And He wants us to be continually connected to Him. When we are connected to Him, we find wisdom and strength for life. God wants us to receive that wisdom so that, you see, our lives will be witnesses to the people around that indeed there is a living and true God. It's true, although He's invisible, although we cannot see Him, but we can trust Him, we can take hold of Him, we have a sure knowledge of Him. God wants us to experience His presence. Not only will He bless us with His presence, but He would bless us in our families to help us. We are privileged. We are a privileged people, a happy people. And God wants us to be that witness for Him to a dying world. And God wants us not to forget. See, the trouble with the people of God is that when they see some level of success that God gave to them, they become complacent, they become proud, they lose sight of God in their lives. That was what happened to Israel. Idolatry crept into Israel, and that's where they began to crumble and fall. And so the Lord wants us to keep that relationship with Him straightforward, pure, wholesome. And as we would daily seek Him in our devotion, as we come before Him to pray corporately, as we seek to worship Him, wow, what divine blessing God gives to His people. And the Lord tells us, do not lose sight of all the blessings that He intends to bestow upon His people. Valiant sons, beautiful daughters, full storehouses, numerous stocks, laboring oxen, secure homes, void of complaints. So many good things, right? Yeah, you find that, you see, the people of God, as they seek to follow Him, God will cause fruit to come in our lives. God doesn't want our lives to be stagnated. He doesn't want your spiritual life to stagnate, to regress, but He wants to see fruit in your life. Next year, we are going to start studying the epistle to Peter. And you will notice a lot of discussion on spiritual fruit. Why is it that they talk about spiritual fruit all the time? Because that's what God wants us to do. To overcome, God wants us to bear fruit. God wants us to live that abundant life. And as we rely on Him, as we look to Him, you'll find that, wow, indeed, there is strength that comes. But we need to continue to take time to study His Word, take time to know Him, take time to seek Him, take time to enjoy His presence, so that our life will be filled with joy, so that our life will be filled with peace, and His wisdom can guide us. Such a blessed life, isn't it? Yeah. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. God is my master. I serve him. And he is a very good master. There is no master that rivals my good God, Lord. And I can serve him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I can restfully, faithfully follow him because I know that he will do me good. I know that it will be blessings at the end, or all the way as we follow him. So how happy it is for the people of God. Indeed, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. May the Lord help us to contemplate our privilege, the privilege of God's happy people as we seek him, follow him, walk with him. We are coming to the end of the year, and we have spent time studying the Word of God, taken time to grow, or take time to grow. The Lord wants us to continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has appointed this means whereby we are able to grow. And if you have done so this year, I encourage you to continue to do so next year. Because as we do so, we follow him, walk with him, it will be better and better. But the Lord never fails, and he never will. We can trust him, and therefore may God grant us his grace to follow him. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for your word. Thank thee for your mercy in granting to us the strength to follow thee. And Lord, we thank thee that you are indeed our shield. You are indeed our anchor, our rock, our protection, our security, and our strength. Lord, we ask that you would be gracious to endow us with skill to handle life's problems. This I pray with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.